Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News newspaper. Before we get started, I just want to share a few things with you before I bring on my partner, Mr. Satawi Jai, who always has something positive to share with us. And then after that, we're going to bring on my sister, Eartha Harris, who has some interesting information that we all should, I think, should participate in. And I see I have my longtime friend, Mr. Earn Gray. I'm going to ask him to share some things. I know he may not, you know, but in any case, we try to engage as many people as we possibly can because we are a wealth of information. We have a wealth of services and a multitude of experiences. So, you know, we can't hide under the bushels anymore. You know, this is the time that the light shines. And so, well, this has been an interesting weekend. I'm currently putting the last issue of the year of the National Black Unity News together. And for those of you who still may enter, there's still a little bit of time. This week is my cutoff day. We've been cut off, but my cutoff day. I'm the one that asked you to do the layout. But by me being an old printer, you know, everything's supposed to be done yesterday, and we always up on the fly. And I, for some reason, I work well under these type of conditions. And I kind of strive in it because it's almost like a challenge. So I just love doing it, you know, because I get to see what all of these wonderful editors in the National Black Unity News are writing about and what they are promoting. And that's why I started off to say we have so many gifts, so many talents that can be a blessing to a multitude of our people. And so I had the opportunity, and I want to thank my brother Leroy McKenzie for inviting me to this symposium that they had over the weekend called Rethinking Church. And I happened to be one of the presenters. And I met quite a few wonderful people during that symposium. And especially a young lady, she was about the age of 13 years old. And unfortunately, she lost her father about 3 or 4 years ago. But she was grieving pretty bad. She still is, as she put it. But she took that grief, that hurt and that pain, and turned it into something very positive. This is not a new concept, but she created this kind of unique box where she put all types of items in there, teddy bears, sometimes, you know, treats and inspirational messages and things like that to grieving children and to children like who's in hospitals and things like that. And she's a very sincere lady, that young lady, and her mother works very closely with her. But she was so articulate, and it just gave me so much inspiration. And there may be a strong possibility that this young lady and her mother may be one of our youngest editors in the National Black Unity News. And we also have another possibility of some of our youth. Some of you may know his name, Brother Courtney Witherspoon. He has a son that pretty much seems like he's following in his footsteps. And he's working with youth and sharing his information from his perspective, from the eyes of youth. There's another strong possibility that they may be another one of our youth editors. And so, you know, the National Black Unity News, yes, we have some very seasoned people, but we also are recruiting and bringing in young people from their perspective, and we're going to have every spectrum of the age bracket, from the baby boomers, Generation X, as they call them, the millennials, I don't know what they call the new ones, the brand new ones, 13, 14 years old, but they're here. And they already making a presence. And somebody at my age, it just does my heart so good, you know, to see some the future's in good hands, you know. But the thing that I got from this weekend is this. You know, there's some serious times, you know, in the world, in our country, and especially in the Black community. And even now, I'm so encouraged because so many things and so many groups and organizations are finally beginning to unify. Because they realize now that no man is an island, no organization sometimes can make it by itself. And we have to come together and collaborate, unify in order to survive in the way this world is. Because unfortunately, these major corporations and big bank, big pockets, people are trying to gobble up everything they can. And again, I'm going to try to mute because I hear some people talking in the background. So if you can, please mute yourself. But in any case, before we go any further, I'm going to bring my brother on, Brother Satawi Jahi, who always brings some inspirational information. Then we're going to open up the lines of communication. And I just want to, before I do that, just want you to know, this is not a David Murphy show. This is not a Satawi Jahi show. We open up the lines and we really wish everybody would interact and participate with us in our discussions. And I also want to welcome those who are joining us from Facebook Live, Blog Talk Radio, and all the different groups that we participate in. So, Brother Satawi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And glad to be able to have you on Earth and glad you had a safe trip to Dubai and hope you enjoyed yourself, which I know you did. And our reading for the night, we always do a reading from Daily Motivations for African-American Success by author Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And it is a choice for us to be rich and wealthy and be able to change that generational curse of poverty in our family lives. Reading for the day, race issues. Quote, in my prime, there's no goal too far, no mountain too high. That quote's from Wilma Rudolph, Olympic champion. And, you know, she was born with had one foot that was, one leg that was longer than the other, and had polio and went on to become an Olympic champion. So she said, you know, that there's no mountain too high. There was no race that she wasn't ready for. Okay, reading for the day. It's hard to win a race if you start off 50 feet behind. Yet that's just the handicap that we face in our quest for success. Because of racism and discrimination, just getting to the starting line is an exhausting effort for us. It doesn't seem fair, and it isn't. But the fact is that we can only take off from where we are. We have heard, you can't win, or you'll lose, so there's no sense trying. All our lives have to shake off those muddy messages before we can run. All the resentment and self-pity in the world, understanding, though it may be, won't turn what is into what ought to be. The mud is there. Until we commit ourselves to cleaning our shoes, doing our best, and concentrating on the race at hand, our running shoes will always be heavy. So what if others are better coached and prepared than we are? Who cares if others have better trained coaches? It doesn't matter. All that happened yesterday, not today. And today's race is the race that counts. Those of us who start out with handicaps, who begin several feet behind, need to give ourselves credit for running the race at all. We need to stop resenting where we are and start loving ourselves for the daily courage it takes to suit up and show up. We deserve to win, and we can win if we stop looking backwards and look on moving forward. What's been done is done. Today I will press on to my goal. And yes, you know, there's been many obstacles that's been put in front of us, and we still find a way to some kind of way win. And that's, you know, the very encouraging thing about participating in this life challenge. Just think if coming out of the conditions that we were in, if the playing field had been level and equal, if we was able to win with an uneven playing field, it doesn't matter what we could have been able to do with a level playing field. So, you know, this is not a time to have self-pity or they just stack the deck up against us and this, that, and the other. But, you know, the encouragement of knowing no matter how high they stack the cards on the deck is that we still find a way to muddle through and come out a winner. So, again, as we celebrate the anniversary of the Million Man March that was done in 1985, right, Earth? Yeah, the Million Man March, October 10th, 1985, as we celebrate that upcoming march. And Sister Earth will tell us more about what the celebration is going to entail and all of that. Just remember that no matter how high they stack the deck, no matter what odds they put up against us, that we are winners. And so with that, David, I turn it back over to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. And, yeah, Brother Satai, we get the deck is stacked. And according to history, it will always be stacked. But they're going to do what they do, and we need to learn to do what we need to do. So, you know, we can, you know, it's good to keep your eyes on what they are doing, but sometimes we need to focus on us and make a way for us. And before I'm going to bring my sister, I'm going to bring this up a young man since I was speaking about young people. Brother Milan, you got a minute? If you can, please unmute yourself, sir.
Right here with you, good brother. How's everybody feeling tonight?
I'm doing great.
Pretty strong, definitely strong.
All right. Yeah, I want to bring what I was talking about, unifying and bringing people together in a collaborative type of ventures and things like that. You are doing something that I think you should share with the community about the collaboration that you're doing.
Absolutely. All right. So, for one, I appreciate everybody here, of course, tonight. You understand that we are joining into the directory for a concept of putting our strength together, right? As I put, cooperative everything, cooperative economics, cooperative when it comes to the political vote, it is essential that we put our numbers together, put our wealth together, and apply it in a way that is focused, basically. And so what I bring to the table is trying to include a reward system to motivate us to shift our behavior, to get us to support our own in a way. Right now, I think Kathy Hughes says it on the radio, we are out of the $1.3 trillion of spending power, only 3% of it gets recycled into the Black community. It is ridiculous. Out of 98% of the consumers of the hair industry, all the products that we buy being 2% of ownership in that same industry. I think about 77% of our businesses can employ more than two people, and that includes themselves as the owner of whatever it is that they're talking about. So realizing that we're coming from a point of deficit, we're not really going to begin to shovel our way out unless we actively change our behavior and force our dollar to recycle. And so that is kind of what the IBA reward system does for you. It identifies the Black-owned businesses or indigenous businesses, as we put it, who deserve to be funded. There is still a standard to operate within the league. But it does it in the name of generating savings for you. We form agreements with everybody that comes into our network through a memorandum of understanding. It gives us an exclusive relationship with that partner. And then we open that relationship up to the public. Everybody who decides to take a step to become a member, just like you can become a member of the National Black Unity News, we as partners, you would be able to become a member of the National Black Unity News, carry one of their cards and visit these Black-owned businesses, gain these saving opportunities or reward points, which are the other half of the coin. Any business that's not offering you a direct discount just for coming into their store is participating in our reward program. And that's to say that every 5 to 10 visits that you spend with these patrons, you get to cash in. Right, we are able to use this model with any retail business, any service provider, any consultant. Right now, we're completely in a phase of replacing the grocery bill for all of our residents. There's no reason why we're going to Walmart, Shoppers, Kroger, wherever it else it is that you go and you get your goods from. $200-$300 a month is going. It's another example of money that's leaving our community. We have all of those same products, black owned, available at a better price with the delivery system that'll range anywhere in the DMV. So we'll give you our product, include a produce box, so we actually bring fresh food from the grocery store that we represent and deliver it right to your doorstep. So our name of the game is to put the resources at your fingertips. I mean, that's why we have an app that creates that visibility for you. And that's why we partner with such greatness. Yeah, you see National Black Unity News and TightNet Radio on the call tonight, both examples of the reward system operating through two completely different partners, two different modalities of how they would utilize the reward program, but two different opportunities and benefits to happen once you get the card of where you can go and who is actually looking to support you back. And so that's my mission. I ask everybody to help go along. I do see this request in the chat line for a link. I can send the link in the chat line. But again, this is something that you guys can order directly from your partners, the National Black Unity News. They have their own versions of these cards, these membership cards. We have our own network, as we know, with the directory. And you guys here who are on this call are going to empower that. We're going to be the example of the businesses that consumers want to see. We're going to be the example of group economics and not have to come to these calls unfunded, not able to accomplish our own personal challenges because we don't have enough consumers. I want to be at a point where it's beyond talk. We have the technology. We have the platform. Then let's make it work for you.
That's right.
All right. So.
Thank you so much, sir. And like I said, here's one of the cards that, you know, when you come to the National Black Unity News, you can also receive discounts off people, products, goods, or services. But also, we can use this same card and participate in the other affiliates with the program as well. I can go to TightNet Radio and take advantage of what they offer with their cards. So it's a unique concept. It's a worthwhile concept. And everybody needs to get this up a card from one of the vendors. And this is where we can keep some of that 1.2 trillion, 1.3, 4 trillion, they say, or I believe 3 or 4 times more than that, circulating in our communities. But in any case, you know, I know we were talking about the Million Man March, and one of our brothers on Facebook reminded us, you know, because some of us getting up and old, and, you know, but, you know, the march was 1995. And that's what he was told to me. So, you know, but I was there. And I've seen a lot of things in my lifetime. One of them was recently, and that was within the National Black Unity News. I actually seen true unity, people really working together, sharing information with one another, resources with one another. And I like Martin Luther King, like I said, I've been to the mountaintop. I had a glimpse of it. But, you know, the more I thought about it many years ago, when the call came out for black men all over this nation to come to the Capitol, to come together, and I don't know what it was, but I was ready to go. There was a lot of controversy going on at the time. Amongst ourselves, really, you know, even though we had some outside agitators, but it was black people fighting against it, just as much as people were fighting for it. But in any case, a couple of friends of mine, we went there, you know, we didn't want to drive up, so we went down to the train station and took the train up. But a beautiful thing happened as I was going to get on the train. There was a group of women cheering us on. Before we, got on board the train, and it made me feel, you know, made me feel special, and it made me feel like we were being appreciated just for participating, and most importantly, what it showed me that our women had our back, like they always had. they were standing in Whitman, even though they may not participate in O, but they participated so much behind the scenes, like they always have. And so, you know, and I want to bring on this young lady who was one of the organizers back then, who helped make this thing happen in this area, in the Baltimore region and beyond. Sister Eartha Harris, can you unmute yourself?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And I want you to share with people, first of all, why you participated in that event back then. And then I want you to take it up why you continue to participate in it.
One of the things that really sparks me tonight is we're talking about, because we got to remember that we weren't always behind, that we weren't always losing, that we didn't start off, you know, with all of these obstacles. And the reason why we don't remember is we don't keep talking about it and we don't keep reminding ourselves how great we were. So it inspires me, just as I, like you, Dave, and many of us, witnessed and participated in something that we should take ownership of, and we have to remember that we won. That was a winning physical. You saw it, you was there, it was a winning opportunity. And why are we still talking about things that we don't have or have not accomplished? So I want to read this press release that I was getting ready to put out. And I didn't write it, of course, but I have to help people help me remember. So the press release goes like this. On that day, Monday, October the 16th, 1995, there were a sea of black men. Many stood for 10 hours or more, sharing, learning, listening, fasting, hugging, crying, laughing, and praying. The day produced a spirit of brotherhood, love, and unity like never before experienced among black men in America. All creeds, all classes were present. Christian, Muslims, Hebrews, nationalists, Pan-Africanists, civil rights organizations, fraternity organizations, rich, poor, celebrities, people from nearly every organization, professional and walk of life were present. It was a day of atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. The Million Man March was one of the most historical organizing and mobilizing events in history of black people in the United States. Long live the spirit of the Million Man March. There will be a all-day program Saturday, October the 16th, 2021, commemorating the 26th anniversary of the Million Man March. The theme will be Before, During, and After the March, telling stories of local organizing committees, telling the stories of local organizing committees of the Million Man March. This day will also be in honor of our co-convener, Dr. L. John Wright, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Guilford, who organized the effort locally and nationally for the Million Man March, the Million Family March, the Millions More Movement. May he rest in peace as we carry on his work. FYI, join us again, like I said, this October 2021 at 6 a.m. for a sunrise prayer at Drew Hill Park for our annual gathering and to reinforce the spirit of the Million Man March, which includes drumming and reflection. The sunrise prayer is an annual gathering in Drew Hill Park to reinforce the spirit of the Million Man March in Baltimore area. We started this on October the 16th of 1996 and have been there every year. The reflections and the rally is held to the highest work that has taken place locally, which reflects the vision and the mission of all the marches. The Million Man March, the Million Family March, the Million Youth March, the Millions for Reparations, the Millions More Movement. We take the opportunity to present solutions and opportunities that has the potential to move our race forward. We even created a documentary. The documentary is Men of the March, Before, During, and After, which is a documentary started in Baltimore. It was created and directed by a young brother named Amrod Darby. He has a film production called Black Bears Production. This gives a better understanding as members of the organization committee, attendees, and supporters dispels the myth tainting its legacy and reclaiming the agenda of the Million Man March by sharing untold stories about their lives before the march, during the march, and after the march. As untold truths are revealed, been said that the march was meaningless until now. Over 26 years ago, on October 16, 1995, over 1 million plus bodies embarked on what became a modern-day pilgrimage in solidarity. African-American men embraced and gathered at the National Memorial in Washington, D.C. So this is why we have to do this, because as we keep moving forward, guys, we have to remember that we do have wins, that we have ran a race with one leg and was able to come in as a winner. And we still have a lot of people like Malon and a lot of people like CeeDee Witherspoon and all the other people that we have to make sure that as we tell our stories, you will see the winners, the Charlie Douglas, the David Murphys, the Bill Goodens, the Eartha Harrises, the Mama Ednas, the Mama Beebe's. We have winners, but if we're not telling the story, if we're not taking ownership of something, we would like this one thing that we're doing, because we should be doing many, should be so embedded that we wouldn't even have to advertise. If you went away for 20 years and on October the 16th, you knew that someone created a tradition that somebody will show up at Drew Hill Park, you would be like, wow, this is, I'm going, because I know they have created a tradition. Somebody's going to be there, and you just show up. And the reason why you have to show up for a sunrise prayer, because we should tell accurate stories and accurate truth. When the sun came up, you saw a sea of men. So why start your commemoration and your storytelling after or on the day of the 16th, when we know that the spiritual, physical sight that let us know that we were in that spirit is when that sun came up, because that's when you saw it for your own eyes. So come out for the sunrise prayer and discipline ourselves. We don't create any traditions that discipline ourselves. For the 26 years that I've been doing this, day, the hardest part is for people to get up in the morning. And I'm glad that we use technology, because now what we can do is we say, okay, even if you cannot physically be there, with the young people on board, they're going to have it where you can go on Zoom, go on some type of technology, and be in your house and see us and be present in whatever visual form if you cannot be there physical. But the point of your spirit participating is so important. And you know why those men were like that day, Dave, and everybody was in so love or whatever? Because the real key spirit of our people is that the images that they was putting out there about how we just hate each other and we crabbed in a barrel and all that sort of stuff. But on that day, those people who were led and was witnessing that, it talked to that spirit. And that's why we say long live the spirit of the Million Man March, because if we all stand in spirit, whichever power that you belong in, because Minister Farrakhan even emphasized there's only one. That's why we call the 10th year anniversary the Millions More Movement, because we only have to do more of what we already done. People argued and argued and argued. And they even argue to this day, hey, we should do another Million Man's March. No, we shouldn't. We should build on the fact that we should do more. And a lot of stuff did come out of the Million Man March. So all of those people who are talking about nothing came out of the Million Man March and nothing's happening or whatever, they're talking about you, Dave. They're talking about me. They're talking about Bill Gooden. They're talking about anybody that went there. So I dispel the myth. I'm not nothing. A lot came out of it. We all would not even know each other. You wouldn't even have a black president if it was not for the Million Man March. So we can identify, because we can tell our own story, the power of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that showed you the power that was installed in him to even have that vision. Charlie Duggar always say, whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve. So he conceived that vision. It was given to him. That vision was given to him. He called upon us because he knew that he could call upon the right people to achieve that. And we did achieve that. And we have to be able to remind ourselves, and we have to take ownership of it. And I don't know what everybody else is doing, Dave, but we have to take ownership of it because we know what we're doing. We know that we should be as commemorating this as people are about Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, anything else that they felt that was so important, that they built traditions around it. They built off of that stuff. They capitalized off of that stuff. Why aren't we in the same mindset of winning that opportunity for ourselves? So that is why I keep doing it, because I know, like you said, the work, not only I just hopefully represent the work that it took to make that thing successful. And yes, we all know that women played their part, even though it's called the Million Man March. But the work that John Wright, like you said, rest his soul,
yes.
The man also who gave his life and gave whatever, we have to remember these ancestors that have passed away. You know, Mama Lola, we have to remember those people.
That's right.
That did all of this. So for us to say, because we're alive, then we should create something for ourselves. We should be all in this. And just like Malon said, he built a system that we all can be a part of as this move. We all are moving. I think sometimes we don't participate in things because we want it to be, oh, that's Eartha Harris's stuff. That's Dave Murphy's stuff. That's Bill Gooden stuff. That's Charlie. No, it is our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is our stuff, and it's up to us to figure out how. And I know Cliff always tells us what we have to do, how we fit in that wheel, because he showed us the method. We just got to do it. We got to stop talking about it. When we have all of these people that's among our myths, that's showing us the solution of how we get the win, but yet we the type of people that even though we know how to achieve the win, we don't do the work to get the win. The work of doing this commemoration is so important, not because I'm doing it, not because the LOC doing it, or whoever people want to put ownership on it. The reason why we should do this commemoration as powerful as it could ever be, it's because it's ours, Dave. It's ours.
That's right. It's mm-hmm.
belongs to us. And
well,
let somebody do work. Just like you on this call, yeah, you have to do the work. You got to get the setup and whatever. But the Unity, Black Unity newspaper belongs to everybody. So, yeah, we got to have editors and stuff like that. But we have to start taking ownership of stuff and make sure we understand what we have to do to also participate. But go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes. You know, getting to the Million Man March, you know, I don't know about anybody. I can only speak for myself. But when I arrived there and I see an ocean of men,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about not just, you know, it's hard, it's, you know, back in the hood where we come from, it was very difficult to assemble men without sometimes, you know, how we say we man up on each other. You know, I'm the big man in the crowd, you know, and this, that. But that day of atonement was I seen Christian brothers, Muslim brothers, mm-hmm. Moors, Israelites, all types of religions and everything just coming together in unity and in love. I didn't see not one incident, no fight, no fussing, just brothers hugging, loving on each other, you know, and unison and put an impression on my mind.
But they got stories of people before we get. I got a story that almost brought me to tears. The brother was in Chicago. Now, you can imagine Chicago. The brother told me, let me tell you, we went to the airport, and there was so many brothers. There was planes just full of just brothers, black men all on the plane by themselves coming. He got on the plane with 200 people that he brought himself. So you people don't even understand that they haven't even heard the stories. Before the Million Man March, we got women that stayed up all night, packed food, encouraged their brothers, encouraged their husbands, encouraged any man that they know. We have pictures of people down at train stations that was helping people get on. In Baltimore alone, we had Muhammad, he was selling tickets to get on the train. So many people showed up, the train people were like, well, forget it, just get everybody on the train. People actually left Baltimore free and got over there in D.C. because these people was not prepared at all to see so many people peacefully just standing in line. They were getting ready, but they got scared because, you know, October 16, 1995 was on a Monday, guys. It was on a work day. They were so afraid that they didn't know what to do. Matter of fact, weeks before that, and people always talk about, you know, what happened to the money when they collected all that money. Let me tell you something, what happened before we even collected that money. Do you think in our mindset that you were going to walk to Washington, D.C. with a million people and they were just going to let you come in and be like, okay, thanks for letting us know. They sent a message to Minister Farrakhan. And let me tell you something. We will put a lot in every interest in Washington, D.C. if you don't pay us X amount of millions of dollars, because we got to get spider pots, we got to get police, we got to get this and this, because they were so afraid. And Marion, if it wasn't for Marion Barry, because, again, we got to talk about what's going down. Marion Barry, at that time, he was mayor. You know what I'm saying? And remember, Farrakhan was not anybody's good list. So they wasn't even doing nothing that had Farrakhan name on it. But if it wasn't for Marion Barry standing up with Minister Farrakhan and Ben Chavis, you guys would have never had a million man march. But then they hit us with the finances. Because, see, white people know how to play their game. They say, okay, what we going to do? We know them suckers ain't got no money. So what we'll do is we'll tell them if they don't come up with millions, and I think it was like $3 million, they ain't getting into D.C. Minister Farrakhan, if you ain't never met him, he was a nice, peaceful man. He got on that phone and said, brother, I'll pay him tomorrow. So what happened, which y'all saw on the mall, was his probably people, the men in the nation, looking at trying to recoup the money for what we had to pay for the march. Because people keep thinking that when we talk about freedom, we always talking about free. Freedom is not free. So stop thinking that people can do stuff like a Unity newspaper, that we can do events, that we can own a radio station, that we can do all of this stuff, and we never talk about how much it's going to cost. So
yep, freedom comes with a price now. It definitely did.
And even if it didn't come with a price, you saw Trumbull. You saw Trumbull. The people were seeing. You could see the thing. We had so many resources there. So people, did you actually think that came out of the sky, guys? So then I asked the guys this. So I'm going to be sensible, Dave Murphy, because you said you went. So I told the brother, okay, so how much would you would have paid to go to the march? Since you said, well, what happened to the money? Y'all had all this money. I've seen people lift up all of this money and put in the bar. Okay, how much would you would have paid to come to the Million Man? Well, it was priceless. It was really, okay, then why are you talking about the money? That's the silly thing that ever could be said. If you, your physical self was there and you want to know where the money went, but you said that the experience that you experienced that day, nobody could even give you enough money for it.
Sister, let me say this to you. You know, those people who does those type of things, who say things like that, you know, I can't atone for their attitudes, but you know, you always going to have haters about this and haters about that. But like I say, the overall picture was that all across the nation and the world had their eyes on D.C. all the everybody focusing on that day. There was fear, all kinds of what may happen here or there. But what they seen, what happened was that when you see millions of black men, not I don't think it was one million, I think it was 2 or 3 million really. But and they saw the love and it dispelled every little thing that they could see that we were supposed to be about. And we didn't tear nothing up. You know, we was peaceful. We was in harmony. And it shocked the world. It shocked the powers that be at that time. And but it also did bring fear, because when Minister Farrakhan and the other brothers got together, first of all, they got together, like I say, Christians, Muslims, and everything, joined forces, put this together. And then when they see men from all these different perspectives come together, they now know that it is possible that we can unite and that we can form together. We can do things together. And that is, from my perspective, from David Murphy's perspective, that is one of the biggest fears of America, is that we as a people can come together, pull our resources together, do things together. Because they know if we start doing these type of things, that it would not only bring the economy down, most of them would lose their businesses. And when black people come together and use our resources that and start doing for self, that the whole system will be just upset. And that's why, even up until this day, matter of fact, because of that Million Man March, I believe, they doubled up on us, on the system.
I was getting ready to say the same thing, but the problem is, Dave, just like anything, if you know something and you're not doing anything about it, it's like, why do you even know? So my problem with us, whoever we are, we got to think about what we know and we got to be action. For instance, if somebody smack us in our face, we're going to knock them out. Because if we keep talking about why they smack us, what happened? Why would they smack us? Why is they doing this? This is why they keep doing this stuff to us, because we haven't knocked them out. So now it's an opportunity, and I really haven't really figured out, because I talked to some people, Malon knows and a couple of people know, but I'm still frustrated because the Million Man March, and maybe because it's my thing, it should be bigger than this. It should not even be me running around trying to convince people to say, stop talking about these specters in our face. Now it's time for us to say to ourselves, well, the reason why they winning and the reason why they stacking all this stuff up against us is because we're silly and we just keep talking about they stacking stuff up against us. We got to come out strong. We got to come out, whatever the solution that we come up with, we got to make it happen.
Sister Harris, let me say this to you. I feel you and I understand, you know, the frustration part on, because any of us that's pretty much who are activists out here, you know, feel this frustration too, especially me. I've been out here majority of my life trying to unite us, and but yet we still run to with other people, support their systems and everything else, but we hear people right here, under your own nose, trying to support you, not nobody else, you. And you still have a problem working with us, you know. But, you know, that's how important the work that you do is. Because, you know, long as you taking a stand, I take a stand, and Brother Satabi and everybody else take their stands, you know, there's a glimmer of hope. And because if not, can you imagine if we didn't stand up? We would be totally wiped out and under control. And so, but like I say, again, I don't know how fast time moves. I don't know 100 years ago, you know, in 100 years from now where we would be. But I do know one thing, that I see people like yourself and Brother Rico, Leroy, and a whole bunch of people that's on this call right now who actually are doing things in spite of the opposition, not other people opposition. I'm the opposition from us. And it's extremely frustrating, But thank God, even in your frustration, you still find a way to get up and keep it moving. And why do you think you do that?
So that's what I'm saying, Dave. I think, again, it's not even a frustration. What I'm saying to you, I am not just getting up and just doing stuff anymore. I am going to win. I am going to win this thing this October the 16th. You know why? Because I'm not going to keep allowing us to say it's good enough that we're doing something. No, I'm going to hook up with Malon. I'm going to hold people accountable. I'm going to be looking around, and I'm going to be checking off everybody that has not done something toward this solution, because the one thing we haven't done is when we're trying to do this, we don't do enough in looking in the mirror. So like the person was talking about, the lady, she's running the race with her one leg, but if she's running, right, I'm not running, you're not running, she's running, and she still is saying, even though I'm starting off and I may not be able to beat this person, but you will be able to beat this person, because somebody's going to tell you the skills and whatever and give you all the whatever they can give you to show you how you can beat a race with one leg. You know why? Because they beat a race with one leg. And that's why I told you we got to remember, because, see, we do things and we don't sit back and say, no. The reason why October the 16th is going to be better than it ever is going to be, because Malon has a system, you have a system, we all have a system that we're going to use, because the systems and things we have in place is going to create us winning. And when we don't win, we're going to be like people who organize people. You are not on the team. You are not on the team. Well, I'm not on the team because you're not trying to help us to win. So I'm not going to let people be on my team anymore. They're just sitting there trying to pretend like they're on the team. They'll help me win, and they're not. And I allow them to be on the team because I think, oh, well, you said you was trying to. No. You know when somebody is really going to help you win that game, because they do, just like we see all games. That's what they're about. They spend their whole life figuring out how they're going to win the basketball game when they become in the NBA. So we got to stop pretending like we are the beginner players. We got to stop pretending like we are the people that just got out here and decide we want to play basketball. No, we're the NBA. We should be picking people on the team that's going to help us win the Super Bowl, because we can play to play or we can play to win. So all I'm saying is that it's not so much that I'm frustrated, because I know this year is going to be much better because I picked the right players. I picked people who's going to help me win. I picked people who, that's all they do. That's all they do is play basketball. Why when you want it? And they're all going right. to be able to make it happen. But go ahead.
Yeah, I know it's going to happen, because guess what? You know, and you just said something very key. You got to be extremely careful who you associate yourself with, especially when you're in a battle.
Sure.
You got to make sure that this person ain't going to stand with you and stand the ground, stand firm with you. And then, you know, when he gonna cow up and run as soon as the battle gets a little heavy, then, you know, you don't need that type of person with you. You know,
but Dave, how many people you seen that's in the Army or the Marines or whatever and never been trained? So you
but I hear what you're saying, sister, but like I say, but you know, it's the only time, and when you're in the battlefield, and only see you, anybody can stand with me and say that they're a soldier and they willing to fight with me. But when the battle could have, you'll see, you know, they will demonstrate that they are proven soldiers and they're willing to take a stand with you. Now, some look like they may, and then they'll get up and run from you. But only time can do that. But like I say, because you know, we don't have the foresight to see who's going to do what, who may do this and who may not do that. But sometimes, like I say, then you've been around the block once or twice, and you already know who the talkers are, or who the grandstanders are, and who are the true workers. Now you can continue sometimes, and I do it all the time. I got a lot of people around me that are takers, and that's what they do. But, you know, they have their place for certain things, but that's what they do. But then again, but you know, when it comes down to it, when it get hot and get heavy, there's only a few that I can truly rely on sometimes. And so that's why I say, when I said earlier, I said I got a glimpse of unity. I've been out here 40, 50 years. fighting for the same thing. And I just beginning to get a glimpse of it. And I seen that within in the paper, the National Black Unity. And I seen a group of people who have stood with each other, support each other, and they do it unselfishly. I mean, they want to do it. And things. And this is the first time I've really seen that. I sit at many boardrooms and many tables and many organizations say, yeah, let's do this, let's we, and soon as they're, if they're not the chief and all of this kind of stuff, it all falls apart. And so it's a lifelong battle. Like I said, I don't know what 100 years will be from now, but I do know, I do believe that every generation has its part and has its place. And just like when they were down on the farm, some people call it slavery and everything else. We far advanced than we was then. Maybe not all mentally all the time. Maybe they were stronger mentally because they had to be to survive. But I do know this, because of the work that you do, and many people on here right now, people are watching you. We got younger people coming behind us, and they watching how you work and how you do it. See, you not talking about it. They actually see you doing it. And so they know it's possible that it can be done. But if it left up to what I would call mainstream people, they would be used and abused on a consistent basis, because that's what a lot of people do to each other. But there are some true people out here, true people who really putting in the work. They get up and do it with pay or no pay. They get up and do it because it's in their heart. And you just happen to be one of those people. You don't have to do this, her earth, now, do you? You don't have to do this, now, do you?
But this is where I want to make some clarity for you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying to you, because I have seen unity, I know what it looks like. I've been there. That's how we accomplished the Million Man March. I've seen it. I know what it takes. When people really, that's why I said we got to remember this is not, and I'm not taking away from you because you may have that experience that this is the first time you've seen the glimpse of unity. I'm telling you, no, I've seen it. My organization is called Tight Knit because I knew how to do the unity. I know what the unity looks like. What I'm saying to you is the reason why I'm so hard on the Million Man March is because I'm trying to show you I know what unity looks like. I know that people who are unified, that have accomplished things, is because they take ownership of it. They don't allow people to play them. And what I said when I told you that Malon gave me a better way, because I experienced it with Minister Farrakhan when he was organizing the Million Man March, that was unity. That was the unity at this high level. We had LOCs in every state around the world. They even had LOCs in other countries. And that's how we unified, because Ben Chavis was the one who structured that. He said, okay, this is how you have to do unity. You have to be local. Organizing committee will draw all the like-minded people together. We met every Tuesday at 940 Madison Avenue. So when you want a unity, the two main things that create unity is discipline and true leadership. So what I'm saying to you, the reason why I'm talking this way is not really because I'm frustrated. It's the reason why I'm talking this way is because I know what unity look like. I've been involved with it many, many times. We have many, many successful things that people have unified and been able to accomplish and been successful at. But yet, like you said, if we do not share that with each other, if I'm telling you guys on this phone, the reason why I am doing what I'm doing, because most of the people I work with, we unify. We understand what it takes. It's almost like I told you when I give you the theory of if you were on a basketball team. There's only five people that play on that court, but they got other players that want to play too. But those people that want to play, and the reason why they can keep unity is because they discipline themselves, they have leadership, and that's all they do. That's all they want to do. These kids study from when they're 2 years old, dreaming about one day going to be an NBA. So what I'm saying is we're in unity is dreaming one day how black men can come together, because that's what the Million Man March is talking about, the unity. And I know what it looks like, because when I started off with this, I told Malon, I told Bill Gooden, I told Chase and all of them, the reason why I'm a little bit frustrated is because the first thing, y'all haven't disciplined yourself. You guys don't even talk to each other. Melon, you're not talking to George. George, you're not talking to Derek Chase. Derek Chase, you're not talking to Bill Gooden. Bill Gooden, you're not talking to Charlie Duggar. Saying to you is that, are they all on the same team? Maybe they're not trying to play the same game. So if they're not trying to play the same game, they need to really have a conversation, because until we have a conversation and see if we all are on the same game of these men benefiting out of the Million Man March and creating whatever that is, the code of conduct, the traditions, the game, whatever, I'm going to call it the game now, whatever that game we're trying to create out of the Million Man March, is everybody that's being involved on that? If not, then let us know so we can get the people that's on it, so I can get the right team of people.
Sister Hurd, I don't mean to cut you off, but you know, there's three people may want to ask you some questions. And I think somebody, owner, you got your hand raised. Did you like to make a comment or ask Eartha a question?
Yeah, that's me, Michael Thomas, David Pardon.
Hey, yes.
I doing, got sir? Another computer, and I hadn't got it in sync with all the stuff on it. Got owner. I don't know why it showed up like that, but I couldn't change it. But I got to work on that.
Yes, sir.
But when I sit in any arena, since I'm problem solution oriented, once I hear the problem one time, I don't have to hear it every day or every week or every month or every year or every decade. It's all focused on solution. And I just like to make the commentary in these scenarios that I'm focused on the work and the solution part, and I'm very, very anxious and eager to go to work up against the problem. Now, I'm the type of guy, I like to be organized. So I know that before we go to work, we got to have a team. And the next thing we got to have is a plan. And then we got to have just a little bit of money. We don't need a lot of money, just a little bit of money, you know, based on a very, very comprehensive plan, because I know that one seed will yield a stalk of corn with 5 years with 100 seed on each year. And I look at money like that. $1 will yield $100, a stalk of corn with $100 with 5 years with $100 on each year. However, it takes a team to make the yield like that. And so I just want to put across that I do have a plan, an economic plan, a huge economic plan that takes the burden of rent and car payments off everyone who does not want to have rent and car payments. Some people like mortgages, and they like paying rent, and they like paying a car payment because they have good credit. But I'm in the wealth realm where there is no debt that exists. And so that's what part of my plan is to raise debt so that we can give our undivided, sustained, focused, undistracted, undisturbed, full-time attention to what we're doing, people who want to give their full-time attention. But right now, I have all divided opinions, that means we are working part-time against a full-time threat, a full-time adversary, because we don't have one central thing that we're focusing on, and nor do we have a central processing unit or a chief administrative mechanism giving its full time to making the economic change that needs to be made. And conclusion, we have the 435 representatives in the House. We have the 100 units in the Senate, 100 senators, 9 Supreme Court justices, president and vice president, 546 people, a central processing unit, a chief administrative mechanism that runs this country. But I think that 1,000 great minds can be the central processing unit, the chief administrative mechanism that gives us full-time attention, not part-time, full-time. Because if you're going to church, you're in this organization, you got the children to take care of, and you're doing 10 or 15 things, you're working part-time. We need full-time workers on one single objective, and to complete that objective. And I think that once we complete that objective, we flip the paradigm. Thank you. And I mean no offense to anyone. I only speak English.
There you go. But you know, Eartha says this all the time, and it makes so much sense to me today. We have to identify who the we are.
Yeah.
And you know, and that when she said identify who the we are, there's a lot of us out there. You know, but the weeds, you're going to have to weed them out, so to speak. And because everybody talk the talk, they ain't really going to walk the walk, as they say. And that's why. And this is why I was inspired to do the National Black Unity Meet. is because I had to identify who the we are, people are, whose hearts are in the right place. Not only the hearts, but they were willing to put their resources behind their heart. And not only the resource, but they was all ready to put their commitment behind it. And yes, we brought some people on. They came, some gone. But the we, they still with me. And so, you know, and we building upon that. But like I say, but I do know from my perspective.
But Dave, I think he was making this point. He's saying you as an individual, Dave Murphy, are you taking 100% of your time? See, again, before you get to the we, let's talk about what he talked about.
No, wait a minute. Hold on 1 minute. 1 minute before you even get there, before you identify me with the we or anything like that, let me just say this.
No, I'm talking about what he said.
No, I know what he said, but no, I'm just saying what I was saying was this. Now, his perspective may be that you have to give 100%. Somebody going to have to stay, give 100% whatever that chosen field that they decide to go in. And like I said, there's many roles. Like I say, some of us are media, some of us are this, and some of us are organizers, some of us are a lot of things. Some of us are multitask. But my thing is, now I say I can't be classified like most people. Most people don't do what I do. And what I do best and what my strongest gift is not for me to take a lead. What I do is I follow people. What I do is assist people who're trying to do something. That's my calling. And so I'm not supposed to be the one. No, I'm just saying I'm not the type of person supposed to be out there, hey, come here's the charge. What I do is help you to get you to where you want to go, and then I win.
And that's what I forgot the gentleman's name, but if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's what I got what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about winning, he's saying, okay, I'm being straight to the point. If you're really going to win something, one of the main resources you have to win whatever you're trying to win is a strong economic base, which means that you're doing this 100% as a job for you, because the most people who seek economic sources are either working or, like you said, in the church or doing all this other stuff. So we're really trying to win. So I'm going to put it in my game perspective. When these people are playing the NBA, they're not going 50 other things. They're not there in the NBA. That's all they do. So one of the things that I'm getting out of his conversation, he's saying, okay, so we on here, we're talking about whatever we're talking about. Who really got the economic freedom and the freedom to do this 100% and not be like, oh, I'm doing this on October the 16th, like I'm doing an event, and meanwhile I'm over in Dubai, meanwhile I got to go work for my sister because I'm an accountant, and meanwhile I got my kids. So who's doing this and saying, this is the only thing that I am doing, and I got 100% of my time and my resources tied into this? And he is correct. We very seldom have any of us that, before I get to my theory of the we, that I can identify and say, that person, that's the only thing they're doing. And not only are they doing it, they can fund it. They can fund it themselves. They ain't even got me whether I want to be on the team, not be on the team, be part of them, not be part of them, be the one that can bring whatever. No. When I went to Dubai, one thing I learned, and again getting to his concept, they told me that 80% of the people in Dubai is not even from Dubai. But because Dubai has the money to pay anybody and anything that they want, they pay the people and they come and do what they want, whether it's the doctors, lawyers, teachers, technology. They paid all of those people because they get the money. So I'm saying they had the money. They brought those people over there like, we're trying to build Dubai and we will pay you. And that's what they do 100% of the time. So that's what I got out of his perspective of saying if we're trying to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like I say, you know, Brother Thomas is he has a network and a plan can help us out economically, but that's you know, from my perspective, that's one thing, because we do need to finance something, but you still need, from my perspective, but even to do that, you have to have organized. If somebody's going at the thing, that one person can't do it all. You know, especially on the scale we're talking about, us, when I'm talking about bringing us together, that's a large scale. Even bringing two or three together is large.
Well,
but, you know, but like I said,
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's for him to do. Hopefully he's doing that 100%. Whatever day he's presenting, I hope he's taking his own advice. So if he's doing that 100%, then he should be very successful, because if he's saying that's all he did, then let's see if that works. Because if he's doing it 100% and he's presenting his economic freedom plan, maybe you should show up, Sarah, show up on October the 16th. We do have opportunities for people to say, what came out of the Million Man March? You can say, hey, I came out of the Million Man March, and I want to present this to you, men, because I think, again, if you come over here and do what I tell you to do, you won't be talking about car payments. You won't be talking about debt. You won't be talking about this. That's why I was telling Dave, the reason why we're in the position that we'll have people like you to have the answer, but if nobody's participating and doing whatever you said do, then we get back to this conversation. And to me, I'm not doing that. Now, you either go over here and get your car payments eliminated, or don't come talk to me at all, because I got somebody that does what he did.
Okay, let me do this. Sister Harris, if this Brother Leroy got his hand up as well. He may want to ask you a question or have a concern. Brother Leroy.
Well, I'll just make this statement, and I hear everything that everybody's saying, but here's the thing. We have to have a Nehemiah build the wall mentality and not attacking each other, because that we only need to deal with, and I had one of my mentors, he told me this when it came to us trying to unify and be with each other. You only work with those who are a part of the we, as you said, the ones that are willing to work. Everybody else, there's no concern about. We're trying to get people to do this. There's no need. You don't need to talk to them. You know, just try to sift through them. All you want are those that are willing to do what it is that you're trying to do and build the wall. You build that wall. Nehemiah and the people built the wall because they had a mind to do so. They had a mind to do so. Those who have the mind will do so. That will be a part of this. If you're not, and it takes us in different, doing different roles and understanding those roles. Everybody that built that wall understood what role they played in building the wall. I'm going to build my wall here. You build your wall here. Everybody understands their role. Like Brother David was saying, he understands what he can do. He stays in that lane. This is what he's building. This is what he brings to the table. I know what I can do. This is what I bring to the table. This is what I'm going to do. That is what the issue was in the civil rights movement with Dr. King, SNCC, and all the rest of them. Everybody wanted to be
your foes.
Nobody, but they gave Dr. King the civil rights movement. So all of the confusion needs to be put away. Hey, let's put a plan together. Let's have solutions. I believe everybody on this call is solution-oriented. That means we put an economic empowerment plan together, period. That means we sit down and strategize. We're not outnumbered. We're out-organized. That's because we can't come together and have lines and say, this is what needs to be done as a collective. Every other ethnic group does that but us. Everybody wants to go 50 million different ways as opposed to understanding what they bring to the table and everybody understanding what their role is. Giving everybody their piece that they need to have, and they do that. And when that is done, then the wall gets built. Then our communities get better. Then our communities can be strengthened in everything else. Yes, the Million Man March was beautiful. I loved it. I was there. I was a part of it. But here's the thing that has not happened since then. We're still fighting the same things that we fought at the Million Man March, that we talked about at the Million Man March, and we're still talking about the same things that we talked about at those that were a part of the Civil Rights Movement. We're still talking about it. So there are resources that are needed. It's just you understanding what resource you bring to the table. If it's money, you bring money. If it's intelligence or intellect, you bring that. If it's graphic design, you bring that. Whatever it is, you bring to the table, and then you have to organize where everybody goes to. My name is Leroy, and I'm done.
Okay.
And then that goes around being disciplined and accepting leadership. You just said it, Leroy. What I'm saying to you, the reason why we're doing the same thing is because you act like this. Not, the gentleman just said, I got an excellent plan. You're talking about, we got to put the plan together. We ain't got to put the plan together. We already got plans. Now, if we're going to discipline ourselves and we're going to work those plans that everybody keeps putting together, is where we keep seeing this disunity. And then some people, they're not on this call, but just like that gentleman just talked about, they are working that plan. That's why they ain't got no car payment. That's why they ain't got no mortgage. That's why they got cryptocurrency. That's why they got $1 million. They may not be on this call, but everybody ain't doing and sitting around just talking and trying to organize. Some people are organizing. That's what the myth is, too. The myth is that we think people aren't doing what we think is needed to be done.
The problem with it, Ms. Eartha, is that we have too many people, too many pockets trying to do it on their own, as opposed to collaborating and partnering with each other and saying, hey, here's part of your plan that we can use. Here's part of my plan that you can use, and coming together collectively. It's good to have them done individually, but we get nowhere. It's just like your hand. You got five fingers, but like they said in Soul Food, when that hand becomes a fist, it becomes a powerful thing. We got to stop being fingers and become a fist. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me just do this because I'm going to get everybody in. Vernon, you had your hand up?
Put it down. I'm just listening.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. But you, go ahead, Sister Her.
So, Leroy, say for instance, they got Rockefeller, Jay-Z, and them, they got themselves together. They're doing a lot. They got this person over here. They're doing a lot. So when we keep saying people are not doing things, no, we may not be doing something, but the group that did find their like-minded group and put their resources together and feel like they're making a difference, you got people out here like LeBron James who built schools and doing some stuff. So there is not people not out here doing it. Maybe we need to start saying to ourselves, when we come up with an idea of whatever we're trying to do, I'm going to go back to the caller who just told us about getting rid of debt. He ain't the only person that got exactly step by step how you can get rid of debt. But if we get on the call and say, oh, we're going to be debt-free and we're going to be wealthy, then who plan are you going to pick? Because they got plenty of people out here already doing it. Malon just came here to me a year ago. Perfect plan. And not only did he have a perfect plan, he has an accountable plan. Because if we come up with whatever we're doing and we can't even hold ourselves accountable and make sure that you're building that brick wall that you said you were going to build and you're doing your work because, you know, nobody can watch over you, but then we have a way that can tell whether you're doing it, then we add to it because things evolve and we have to evolve with it. So the things that we're coming up with, we can do it overnight. Why? Because people are bringing solutions to us, putting that structure around it, so we don't have to be having the same conversations as you claim that we're having, because we're not paying attention to people that do know that the reason why we look at Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all this past history stuff, and we say, we're still talking about the same things we did. No, we may be talking about the same thing, but other people have moved on. They're not talking about the same thing. They're not having the same discussions. Okay? So the things are evolving. But what we have to do is determine, again, who's the we and what is it that we can contribute, like you said, as we 5 or 11 of us are on the call.
Well, let me say this. Like you say, Brother Leroy, I kind of coincide with what you said, because like I said, everybody has different gifts and talents, and if you have a certain gift and a certain talent, that's what you, like you said, that's what you bring to the table, because that's who you are and what you do. You're not going to do economics if your gift and talents is graphic designs, you know. And so, you know, you ain't gonna have an interest in that, even though, you know, you need money, but, you know, that's what you bring to the table. Now, you can come to the table and say, well, I can bring the graphics in there. I can take what you say and I can put it on literature and make it look good, make it all of this kind of stuff. But then somebody like me come along and say, well, I can assist you. I got media. I got this. I got that. And, you know, I can bring some exposure. Sister Hurst, I got a plan. We need to do this. We need to organize. And that's what she does. And so, you know, but, you know, we can never take on the role of somebody else's and their gifts and talents if you don't have them. And
but I don't think we're trying to take on nobody's role. What I'm
saying I'm not saying you know. I'm just talking about us in general. Now, I don't never single no one person out on anything because, I'm just being honest. Wait a minute, sister. Like I say, because I have gifts and talents, but I can't. It took me a long time to learn this, though. But you can't be all. You cannot be all things to all people. You can't. I didn't do that to yourself. And you was, I mean, pretty much zap out if you even tried to. But again, like I said, you get
try
in.
To build the wall,
David,
what I'm saying is,
I wouldn't do that myself. Sister, wait a minute, I would build my wall by myself, period. I may bring you the bricks, but that's it.
So what I'm saying to you, David, if you're trying to build a wall and somebody say my talent is I'm a painter. Oh, we're not looking for a painter. We're looking for somebody that can build a wall. All I'm saying is that we know we all got gifts and talent. But if you're trying to build a wall, then the first thing you need to do is identify the people who can build the wall. Now, when those people are identified and you say, okay, well, Eartha, you lay the bricks, and Malon, you put the cement there, and you put the water. Yeah, then I'm the bricklayer, he the cement, he's the water. But what I'm saying to you guys, if we are just saying, okay, we're going to build a wall, and everybody just, don't have no talents to build a wall, nobody don't know how to build a wall, and we still talking about building the wall. But if we would identify exactly what we're getting ready to do, and we know that we got people amongst us that can do it, as y'all said, we identify who those people are, the wall should be built yesterday. But if we're still talking about the wall, and you telling me that we can stay in our lane and we can do whatever we do it, then honestly, we're not focused. Because
may I
we
say something? Michael Thomas.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Thomas.
Yes, I just want to refer to the Bible, Solomon's temple that was built. It was larger than I had fathomed. You know, I looked at it. It said it had 3,600 chief administrators. It had 60,000 hewers and 80,000 laborers to build Solomon's temple. That was a huge landscape where you had 80,000 laborers and 60,000 hewers cutting trees down to build the temple with 3,600 chief administrators. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody can do something. No one's plan is dismissed, but if you don't have a good plan, there's no concern. We don't need to carry it. But we take the best of all the plans that we work together to build this wall, to build this kingdom, to build this union. No one is left out. No one is erased. You bring what talent you have, you know, and if you're in a wheelchair or something like that, you can make phone calls or whatever it may be, but everyone participates in it. No one is left out. It's not just one person or one group or one organization. Study Solomon's temple, 3,600 chief administrators, 60,000 hewers, and 80,000 laborers.
But they had millions and billions of people, so somebody was left out. Because like you said, everybody didn't build it. It took those many people to build it. And again, we in technology, we can build that same thing, and we catch up with Malon and some of these young people saying, excuse me, but I want to show you how you can build this right now, because now we're not back in the 80 days. We right now, and I can take some technology and build you that tomorrow. But then if you're still talking about what happened 800, 900 years ago. This is what I'm saying, guys. We both look at, yes, I'm not saying exclude anybody. I'm just saying we look at what does it take to do this. If it takes 32 million people, then we get 32 million people. But it's a billion people, so everybody wasn't there, but it took 32 million of them to get it accomplished. All we're doing is today is say, if it takes 100 of us, then we get 100. But if it only takes 2 of us, then just get 2 of us. If we're not in that mindset, we constantly keep saying and talking and still identifying whatever it takes. We know we have the people. We know we have the resources. Now what we're doing, as some of you mentioned, we start doing whatever it takes to make it happen because we know we can make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Not eliminating nobody, because we all have benefited from it. When they build the temple or when we build them, whatever, it's for the people. So then everybody benefits, and that's where it comes, where you're talking about, we all will be able to benefit from this, but we really need to decide what is it that we're going to do, what is it takes to do it, and get those people, get those resources, get that structure in place. So when we wake up tomorrow, next year, however long it takes it to happen, it happens. And we're not in a conversational mode continually, as some people feel as though we're still saying the same things, like the brother said, Martin Luther King, or talking about the Million Man March or whatever. The things that I'm telling you, the reason why I'm telling you about the Million Man March is that we have to remember that. We have to remember that we have everything that we need. Whatever went into the Million Man March is the same thing that came out of the Million Man March. So those men who went into the Million Man March reaped and benefit from all of the history that you just talked about, all of those temples that we built, all of those things that we did and everything. We all are ancestors of that. So when we went there that day, regardless whatever happened that day, that's what we're coming from. And now we're here today with the same mindset that we have to remember what all of those people did in the past. We can do it different because we have different technology. We have different ways. We got younger people that want in. We younger people that want to help us because they're learning a new way to build a new infrastructure. Like I've again mentioned, the young brother Malon, we got to pay attention. He's bringing us the indigenous business system where we download it on our phones, where we use the technology to build. So
hey,
we
let me do this
because
time is running out. Mr. Hawthorne, is that you raising your hand?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I just got one question.
Because I'm listening to all of this intellect exercising and vision forecasting and goodwill intentions, and I know myself being on the front line right there at the Million Man March and seeing a lot of the brethren who came, like you said, from Chicago. Family of mine, we was all together. I only got one question. Today, what is the focus of the movement that we can proceed or move forward on? Because we have a lot of people with ideas of the economic prowess. And like you said, the Honorable Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan, he did a dissertation and wrote some documentations showing the black financial strength that we have as a black people, and how we keep spending billions of dollars in someone else's market instead of empowering our own marketplaces. And we have initiated several by black institutions and organizations, and getting people to support that is a struggle. What is the vision? What is the focus? Where are we leading and going today for the future?
So this is Ertha Harris answering you that question. You, your individual self, where are you going? Because you just told me you went there. So where are you going? Did you think that you came out and you ain't nothing and you ain't doing nothing and you don't have nothing to contribute? So that's what I'm trying to make you understand. You have to first say to yourself, because you was one person. We talking about millions was there, but what I don't think y'all get the point is, talk about yourself. If you was the one that went there and saying to me on this phone tonight, you don't think you benefited nothing from going there, and you right now, your own individual self, has nothing to contribute from that experience.
Because that's not what I'm saying.
That's not because
with all due respect, Sister Harris,
okay, go ahead.
With all due respect, my contribution and what I birthed out of the Million Man March still proceeds to move forward today. And because of that, I'm a bishop of the Hebrew Apostolic Assembly.
So you answered your own question.
That's not the answer. That's not the question that was given for the answer that I just gave. My question is, for this movement that you're doing now, collectively, what is the focus? Where are you trying to drive or get us to go to? Is it a reemergence of consciousness and bring us to where we need to be aware of what we have to contribute? Or is it a collective effort of bringing us together so that together we can begin to do something that's going to be impactful as a community, or watch this, a new emerging nation within the United States as a people of color?
So that's why I'm trying to answer that question. So if you don't see that, and then I get the other guy to see that, and the other guy, and the other guy, and the other guy, and the millions of guys. So when we create that emerging, you see what I'm saying? Because I have to start with you. So what I'm saying to you, there's people just like you who have benefited, and so you emerge, and then he emerge, and then the other person emerge, and then when we're trying to say, what are we really trying to get out of it, it's the same individual thing that we did get out of it. People did do something with that. People experience something that changed their whole life. And just like you said, you're a bishop now and whatever. So when we have these conversations and we don't put these conversations in perspective, how do you think that if you was the only one that felt as though there was something that was transforming in your life, and you're not talking to Dave Murphy and Bill Gooden and this person and that person, and you guys, not putting on me, are saying, hey, guys, what can we do with this? What can we emerge from this? What should we really be doing? First, you should be telling your story, because I just told you, if your son or daughter picked up a book, they didn't hear that story that you just told me. Nobody has said, wait a minute, the first thing we should do is tell our own story, because this stuff, just like people talk about Jesus, just like he talked about those people building that building, we don't know if that's really true, because those people didn't tell a story. He's reading it from a book. Why don't you just, first of all, just individually, all the men that went, tell your stories first so you can emerge out of it yourself, so you can get the perspective in the world and in the atmosphere yourself. And then as you guys start to remember, start to put it together for your own, when you meet a brother like Maylon, who was 1 year old, never even been to the Million Man March, and he's joined up with me, and he's excited and burning, and all these young brothers, they're like, wait a minute, that what happened? Oh, my gosh, you surely happened? Excuse me, nobody never told you, because there's plenty of men in Baltimore City that went and experienced it for themselves. No, nobody never mentioned it. Nobody's talking about it like you're talking about it. Okay, then I have to get them to start talking so they can emerge the story for you. So as you guys get inspired, because I'm the one saying it, even though I'm a woman, that you really understand some of these people have really done so much because of that one experience that they experienced. And not only that, like you said, Bishop, a lot of people were doing a lot of great things even before they got into the march. And
Yep. Like me, I was already publishing in the newspaper before I went to the march. Yeah. And I was already on the agenda before the march. All the march did confirm that unity can be achieved. We can come together for this and for that. But you know, and when I went back home, you know, this is one of a multitude of events that happened in my life that made me, first of all, for me to even go to a Million Man March, I had to have the mindset of unity, of trying to bring, you know, working with brothers, you know, other brothers. But that's the mindset I already had before this event even took place. But at the same time, it was more to me like, you know, they said it was a Day of Atonement, and it was confirmation. It was a call to action that brothers, you know, we doing something, and the ones who came there, was the people that I saw personally was people who was conscious enough that want to have unity, that want to work together. There was a lot of brothers that stayed home, didn't mm-hmm. want no parts of it. Mm-hmm. They still don't want no parts of it. And that was their mindset. And so we still, if you look at the we or the us, we still divided, because there are some who went and some who did not go. But but when we come home, those ones who do not want to, and I know some of y'all not religious, but Jesus himself said, you got to shake the dust off your feet and keep on pushing, because there's a lot of brothers, you know, that's her coming. She was trying to free him. A lot of them said, I want to stay on at the plantation. Always going to be that way. But again, you know, each individual has to make up his or her mind. Oh, I'm going to be a contributor. I'm going to be a taker, or I'm going to unify, because I see in unity that my children and my children's children can have a better day. But by myself, David Murphy by himself, I can fight and I can stand, but I don't stand too much of a chance if I'm being jumped. But if I got some brothers around me.
I'm saying to the bishop, first just tell me, again, like I said, I mean, it doesn't have to be come out to this thing that I'm doing. I just want you guys to understand, you do have a role to play.
You breaking up, sister.
I have to be able to, and my phone rang. But Bishop, what I'm saying is that just even as an individual man, like you said, tell your story, figure out how you want to work it. It doesn't really, I'm just saying this is something that I know that we haven't done in the past. Take things, take ownership of it, create our traditions around it, make sure our children get our stories, do something with it, and that's the only thing that I'm orchestrating right now. But I see my mom has his hands up, so I'll let him say something.
That's to make sure that the two hands I've seen on here were already raised, my brother Leroy and Bishop.
Yeah, they both talked already.
So I wanted to kind of chime in perspective of being a youth to Bishop's question, because I feel like it is, how I put this, well timed, right? I do think in a lot of senses we get in these calls and we talk about things and it sounds like future tense, what we will do, what should happen, what we need to do, what we can, we have the power to do. Somebody's asking about what's currently going on right now. I guess my only question for Bishop back in return is, if a solution were presented for you to follow and for us to follow right now, what would it take to get you on board? And the reason why I ask that is because we're talking the commitment to each other is the first step.
You froze, brother.
Melon?
Yeah, he kind of froze up. But Bishop, yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Is he there?
Yeah.
He just froze, but he can probably hear you.
Okay. Well, let me say this: as far as being involved, it is definitely my position to be involved. And Melon?
Yes.
Yeah, Melon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me say something. The first step is unity. Solidarity is necessity, because you can't do anything when you're divided. There has to be a unified core. The second thing is you have to have a vision. You know, the scripture says, my people fail or perish for the lack of vision. And so I don't mean any harm, but back in 1982, I was quieted real nicely by the college, because I was getting ready to do a series called Prejudice, the Inherited Ignorances of Men. Not just white men, but men. And they said, oh, you can't present something like that. That would you know, be compromising to the university and our stature. Well, hey, okay, but the fact is, prejudice is the ignorances of men being taught to the children. Children don't have any knowledge of prejudice when they're young, racially or otherwise, financially especially, you know? So after we deal with that, then comes to the fact that I was looking at white America, black America. Let's take this whole country. Let's fight for a certain hemisphere of land, and let's put all the folks that want to be of the free and liberated mind down in the nice, warm, and comfortable area, and send all them hateful folks up in the northern area where it's cold and chilly, and let them have their way. But I realize, you know, unlike the Mormons, who I was just sharing with one of the other sisters, who got Salt Lake City, Utah. They took possession and they got ownership of that. And they're recognized by the United States, but they make their own. They make their own laws. They're sovereign in themselves. And nobody outside better come up in there, especially before they handle any case, criminal or otherwise. Well, what's wrong with us?
So.
All right, hold on one second, because I was trying to respond to that. Supply and demand, right? You want to talk and from a position of power where we are trying to overturn law that we already know is corrupt, one that we know was not designed for us, two. The only way to really do that, it comes down to a numbers game. We've seen our ancestors try to do this before, those of you familiar with the Noble Drew Ali attempt. Why? Because as you kind of identified, black was a hedge term, an umbrella term for so many different nations of melaninated people. That word black has no legal real weight, validity to it. We saw Barack Obama recognize and honor the Morris Treaty for that very reason. Now, I only draw on that intellect because we learn from Noble Drew Ali, okay, we're the first here, right? But we the only ones that hold the piece of paper and come out and talk about sovereignty and how we should be independent to our nation. What happens? We don't have a defense system. We don't have any funding. We don't have any way to maintain or preserve with that actual national mission.
And there, in turn, begins the focus of what we need to be driving towards.
I'd like to interject.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to just simply say that Harriet Tubman didn't have any funding or any kind of support when she got out there in those woods with those ticks and those animals and those rattlesnakes, comprehended that she had white men on horses with guns. She didn't have any funding.
Well, that's initially.
So that's the heart.
When she made her first travel, she didn't. But once she got up and became a part of the Underground Railroad, there was funding. There was funding there. Let's not misconstrue that. She had funding to be able to go back and forth. Yes, she did.
Thank you, Leroy. I'm talking about since you brought that intellect in here, when she started, did she have funding? Would you let Leroy answer my question, please?
Her first trip when she actually decided to leave, no, she did not. But once she got to Philadelphia and she met with the gentleman that she sat down with, she got funding.
Okay, great.
Because she told him, I'm going one way or the other. Because he expressed to her, we can't have you go because if you get caught, then that's going to bring other people, that's going to put other people in jeopardy, which were a part of that funding that were giving them money for the Underground Railroad.
Thank you very much for that information. I'm only speaking of the time when she did not have funding, that reference frame right there, that reference frame when she took it upon herself to put her life on the line without funding. That's the only thing. I'm not talking about when she had funding. I'm talking about she didn't start with funding. She started with herself. She didn't have any funding.
Self-determination.
She was looking for funding, but she didn't have it. And that's where we have to start from, in my opinion. We have to start from where we are without relying on second and third party interference.
Let me give you some clarity. You were not there. You don't even know what happened. I just told you the reason why I do the Million Man March, there's plenty of people living and breathing right now that can tell the story. We tell the stories as if we want to be so passionate about what we're reading, about what somebody else gives us information. You was not there. You don't even know what happened. And I'm not saying that it
pardon
didn't happen.
Let's be real. I'm going to be done. I'm sorry. Miss Earth, I'm sorry. let's have a true understanding that we know that we know that Harriet Tubman did not go back and forth as many times as she did on her own. There's no way
possible. How do we know that?
Let's be real. Come on, Miss Ursa.
She traveled
from the Eastern Shore to Pennsylvania on foot one time by herself.
How do you know that somebody told you the story, right? I'm not saying it wasn't true.
Oh my God.
This is what I'm telling you.
I'm not saying it wasn't true. I got it.
No. Listen, I understand what you're saying, but like I say, you already told us that we need to tell our own stories.
Tell your own stories.
And for our children and our children's children, and people like Milan can understand, you know, our take from our individual take, because everybody had different takes from it, you know, but then you telling your own story. And so, you know, and a lot of y'all already on here telling your story, cause a lot of y'all are authors, and some of y'all already writing in the National Black Unity News, sharing your stories about this and about that. But again, you know,
Malon is saying, I'm not Harriet Tubman. I'm Malon Butler. I have an IBA system. I need you guys to look at my IBA system and tell me if you can participate in this, and can this be a solution of 2021? I understand history. I understand the past.
Yeah. But he, like I said, Malon got a plan, and so do Brother Thomas got a plan. So
correct.
Do Bishop got a plan.
Correct.
David Murphy got a plan.
Correct.
We all got a plan, and we all want everybody to look at our plans. We wouldn't be doing this.
And we
nothing.
Cannot do that plan like somebody did when they came out with the newspaper and they were running around with horses and stuff. So you got a plan of still the newspaper that people been having news and getting the information out to people for years. But now we're saying in 2021, this is how we're doing the Unity newspaper. That's all I'm telling you guys, is that now we can focus on live, who tell
the Sister Earth, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, like I say, you know, in fairness to everyone, you know, we all got a plan that we wouldn't be doing if we weren't passionate about it, you know, if we weren't into it. No, listen to me, Greg. I hear what you're saying. We can use terminology and just like that. Yes, we all saying the same thing. All of us saying the same thing. We need to work with one another. We have to have a plan. You know, we have solutions to all of our problems. But, you know, somehow the kind of way we're going to have to orchestrate this thing so that everybody can benefit from the we thing, from the us thing, so that we can have a better future, not only for our children, but our children's children. But you know, until the day, Calvin, like you're saying, until Milan can sit down with me and he can sit down with the bishop, and he can sit down with Brother Tom and say, yeah, I got this system. And then Brother Tom said, yeah, but I got this system. And Bishop said, I got this system. And then let's see how we can reason together so we can utilize all the systems. But, you know, but that means that not only are you passionate, but you also have to learn to be humble and submissive as well. You have to be a team player as well. And, you know, your system may be a good system, but you have to also operate with the other systems.
So that's why you got to talk to each other to see, like you said, if you guys are trying to do whatever you're trying to do, get together, pull it together so you can just make it accomplished. That's all I'm saying. Whatever it takes.
That's exactly what we're doing. See, this is how we met one another. Because he had a system, I had a system, and we start talking about it. Then we bring other people. Bishop got a system. Now we are aware of everybody's system now. But like I said, what I do, and I can't speak with nobody else. So I took all of them systems. Kamalana's in the paper, Bishop in the paper, Brother Leroy is in the paper, and pretty much all of y'all are in there. But see, even though I have a system and you all are participating in it, but as we are reciprocal things. What did David Murphy? David reciprocate by help supporting your systems. And not saying that my system is the only system, because I wouldn't have a system if y'all didn't have your systems. And so that's all I'm saying is
that's all we're saying too, Jack. That's why I say we got to talk about what's now, because we're living and we don't know that maybe while Harriet Tubman was freeing slaves, Janet Joseph was freeing slaves. Thomas Paul was free and slave somebody, but because we hear about her system and her story and whatever, it's not like other people wasn't trying to free slaves. So I'm just saying, but when now we get into the present and we understand that we can tell our own stories, we can get the proper information so we're not just telling stories that people told us. We're really telling it in a perspective of we're looking at ourselves as now and 100 years ago. People will read about these stories, but now they'll have our own documentations out of our own a narrative, so they won't be telling the story from somebody else telling your story.
Okay.
So that's why, again, I'm passionate about the Million Man
Heart. Okay, yeah, and you know, because I have to go, you know, I'm going to have to shut this down. But I'm going to say this just in closing. I appreciate you, Sister Eartha, for coming on, for the work you have done, the work you're still doing. And therefore, for everybody else who's on there, because everybody on there that I can see that is how the young people say they are, y'all are putting in work, and you're on top of your game, and you're constantly, you know, and you know, making the way not only for yourself but other folks. Like Brother Leroy invited me onto the symposium of it. I met so many wonderful people. See, but see, that's how it works. Now I got a whole new connection system. But now there's more wonderful people doing more wonderful things. Got other plans too, you know, and want to do other things. You know, they talk about our director. I think, yeah, and then we can join forces on that. But you know, but again, you know, like I say, we all of us. I don't care who you are, whether you believe it or not, everybody have a gift or some talents. And if you nurture those talents, not only will they make a way for you, but they'll make a way for us. Because everybody in this world, you know, I think you'll have a purpose, not just for yourself, but collectively. Because we all bring something to take. Look how this world is operating. The lights, the plumbers, the electricians, everybody got their role to play. The farmers, everybody. And why did this one go want to be a farmer? Why did this one want to be electric? I don't know. But I do know this. I believe it's a universal intelligence out there. And I do believe that any man and any woman, you can try your best to be unity. You can be collaborative as much as you want to. But first things first, you have to take care of you first. You got to build your thing up before you can bring something to the table. And you have to be respectful of your brothers and sisters, because their way is not always going to be your way, and the majority of people will never always see it your way. But what you do, because you feel it's in your heart and you're passionate, because we got some people feel passionate about killing people, hurting people, and that's what they do. But you know, but then you know that's who they are. But for yourself, like I say, for me and my house, you know. If it's good and it's going to help my brothers and sisters, if it's not hurting anyone, then I'll lock step with you, but to a point. But at the same time, you know, I do what I can to assist you. But all of these plans, now I'm going to tell you, be honest with you, I see 6 or 7 plans I'm looking at right now, and then I have my own plan. Do you know how much it takes for me to do my own plan? Can you imagine if I even attempted to try to do all of y'all plans? I would zap out, because that's not my, you know, like I said, it's not me staying in my lane. It's just that some things I'm not interested in. Some things I ain't even going to do, period, because I have no interest in doing them. But again, I do know one thing in this country, and it's not fair that I didn't make the decision. I didn't bring up segregation. I didn't bring up the black and white thing. It's been around for some time. You know, it's not just a black and white thing. This has always been tribalism. Africans was killing Africans. Asians was killing Asians. Indians was killing Indians. Hell, even when I was a little boy, I used to fight to take the little team in the next block because they lived on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue. Just that simple little thing. That's the mindset of man. But at the same time, we do know that we have to join cliques. We have to join society, even in the penal institution, even in this world society. And if you're not connected, they would overthrow you. And so what we need to do, you know, even though everybody had done what we need to get connected and link up with people who really want to make change. Because like I said, there's people out there who want to do you harm. Your own people who look just like you will kill you in a heartbeat and take what you got and discourage you in what you're trying to do. But when you can find somebody like an Eartha Harris or David Murphy or Milan and Bishop and Rico and everybody else, everybody doing their own thing at the same time. But if you look at it collectively, all of us can bring our own thing to the table and be our thing. But you know, again, in closing, I love each and every one of you, and let's keep doing what we're doing. Support the Million Man March. It was a worthwhile. It left a legacy amongst a multitude of men. And a lot of changes have taken place since then. A lot of mindsets have changed. It's confirmed some things, and long live the spirit of the Million Man March. And I encourage those who are within the area, even if you're not, support the effort, because it is worthwhile. And with that being said, I'm going to say good night to each and every one of y'all, because, you know, we got work to do. And, you know, do your thing, as the old song says. And then when you do that well, bring it to the table, and then we can all feast upon it, and we all win. And Sister Harris, thank you so much for being our special guest. And I see Brother Highkeeper's on here too, and a lot of y'all. So, and we'll be on tomorrow night at 7:30, and we'll be talking pretty much about the National Black Unity News. And I think Brother Satavi is going to be one of our guest speakers tomorrow night. And
yes,
thank you, Brother Satavi. Yeah, and thank you, Brother Satavi, for always, you know, help bring this podcast on. This has been kind of a different way we do things on here, but it was lively, you know. And, we got, but all I was hearing is, to be honest, like I said, I listened, but all I was hearing said, yeah, we got gifts, we got talents, we need to do something, we need to work together. And we need, but we all need to sit down maybe one day at the table and venues, and especially in private, and let's talk this thing out and let's put something together. You know, even if you have to build your own little tribe, you know, that, if that's what it takes for you to do what you need to do, then do it. So thank y'all, and I'm going to say good night to you.
Good night.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
All right, that concludes the broadcast, and we're going to close out with a theme song called It's My Time. All right, it's my time, it's our time. All right, long live the spirit of the Million Man March. Okay, good night. Thank you for listening to the Bachelor Black Unity News Podcast. And, you know, we had a healthy discussion around the anniversary of the Million Man March. And those who are going to be in the Baltimore area, come out to the Million Man March celebration. And you can call me at 252-458-3712 to get more information on where the festivities and activities will be. So when you get a chance, make that call. All right. Take care. And we want to thank Eartha Harris for all the work that she does and everything that has been done keeping the spirit of the Million Man March alive. Thank you. God bless you and enjoy your night.